All right, you play center field. Welcome to another edition of the Friar Phil Show. And I've got a guest today, and we'll get to him in just a few minutes. I want to talk about some of the response I got from Dodger fans last night after the game. A lot of them were saying, well, you know, you've got a good team, you've got a good lineup, but it just doesn't compare to the lineup of the Dodgers. And I thought that was a little ridiculous because we beat the hell out of the Dodgers, and our pitching, you know, in the first two games took care of the Dodgers pretty well. There wasn't much offense. Bellinger sucks now. And I got to thinking, you know, there have been, through the history of Major League Baseball, teams that have been great. Yankees come to mind, Dodgers as well, and other teams that were really, really good teams and would make it to the World Series or the playoffs. But then after a while, especially if they didn't have a good farm system, they would start fading and losing their luster. A good example is the San Francisco Giants, who were World Series winners in 2010, 2012, 2014. But then after that, and this is largely in part to not having a good farm system, they just started to fade down and not be as great of a team as they were. And I think we're seeing that with the Dodgers. Nobody wants to admit that. But sometimes, you know, after a little while, things start to fade. Players get older. They're not as sharp as they were and stuff. So I think the Dodgers will have another resurgence when they start bringing up some of the kids they have on the farm and stuff. But right now, I don't see them as the mighty Dodgers. I see them as the beatable Dodgers. And I see them as a team that we should beat tonight. With Paddock pitching, as long as our defense stays good and the offense works. And that means, of course, like I've spoken about many times, it has to include manufacturing runs. Okay, our guest today is Chapinico14. You should know him from Twitter and also from the fourth inning meetups from last year. He's a real quiet guy. In person, good-looking guy, so you'd recognize him immediately if you look at the picture that's on the podcast. And he goes by the nickname of Chappis. His real name is Alex, but it's Chappis. How you doing today, Chappis?
Hey, Phil. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm much more calmer than I was last night when I did the video. Much more calmer. And you know, yeah, the funny thing about those videos is I'll go off for 2.5 minutes or so. Well, it's 2 minutes and 17 seconds. I'll go off on the video, but a lot of people think after I finish the video, I'm still raging all night long and into the morning. And I just do the video, and then I let it go after that, and there's no more raging. So I'm okay this morning, doing a little better, trying to stay hopeful that we will have some success against the Dodgers tonight. All right, the reason I do these podcasts and the reason I started doing it is to get to know a lot of people like you that are Padres Twitter people, people that are actively Twitterers or whatever you say, Twitteries, and that come to the fourth inning meetup. Anybody that doesn't know what that is, Padres fans that are on Twitter always meet up during the home games during the fourth inning. So if you haven't done that, and when we can get back into the stadium again, keep that in mind. If you're on Twitter and you're at the ball game, fourth inning, and we meet in section 101. All right, Chappis, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, a little biography about you know, yourself and how you got interested in baseball, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, Phil, you're not going to believe me, but I used to hate baseball. I used to think it was a very boring sport. I wouldn't watch it. I was very much of a soccer guy.
Soccer, yeah.
And I used to play professionally, semi-professionally down in TJ with the club Cholos Cuincles de Tijuana. And ever since life hits you, you know, you don't have time. I had to manage school time with my soccer time. And it was very hard because the coaches over there told me you have a, you know, you got to make a decision. It's either you go full-time in school or you go full-time in soccer, but not both because it's very complicated. And I made the choice of going with school, you know. Having that backup would always be better than what I thought playing soccer at the time because, you know, you get an injury or something like that, you break a, you tear a ligament, you you know, something like that, you're done, you know, that's it. And then you're not going to have nothing to fall back on. So I decided to go with school. And so that made me get away from the soccer life. And I started paying attention to more sports, basically here in San Diego, but, you know, since we have none, it was the Padres. So I started getting into them, I think, summer of 16, right after the All-Star. And 2017 was like my full-on season that I would go down to Petco and catch games there.
That's fascinating that you, you know, you look like a soccer player to me. That,
I was trying to figure out
what you look like to me. And yeah,
we lost that conditioning. We lost that physique.
Yeah, you got the physique for a soccer player. But yeah, I think that was a good choice, making school a choice over soccer at that point. Because like you said, you can get an injury and then you're done. You know, so with school.
Yeah, many of my friends said that happened to them. And when they come back, you know, or they didn't make it, they come back and they have nothing. You can't, they have nothing to go on, you know. You have to go back. They got to go get their GED. They're just set back because of that. So I decided to go continue my education.
And what did you major in?
Right now, I'm currently majoring in criminal justice, forensic science.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I love forensic science.
I took a couple semesters. These last two have taken off.
Not
but
bad.
I'll be taking probably around the spring.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to be back in classrooms and the ballpark in the spring with this COVID thing.
I see the struggle of everybody going on those Zoom meetings and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can handle that. It's pretty annoying. I like to be in person. It's a little bit more easier because, you know, you're at home doing Zoom meetings and all that. It's very hard to focus. You just you find other things to entertain yourself and you just completely just miss the work.
Right. Fortunately, I haven't had to do that. It's been a long, long time since I've been in college. I won't say how many years, but it's been a long, long time. But, hopefully we're rid of this COVID thing and this vaccine or something by next spring. But, you know, it depends on people not being dumbasses, too, not wearing a mask. You know, that it's taking my civil liberties away if I wear a mask. Yeah, I'm like, no, you fucking idiots. It's protecting you from the virus and protecting other people from you.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point. But people are just too selfish to realize that, you know. It's just the world we live in. We just gotta, you know, make the best of it, I guess.
Well, we live in a dumbed down country. It's really dumbed down, you know, really severely. I mean, look at who we elected as president. And we really didn't. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by a big majority. The Electoral College picked the president, and we need to get rid of the Electoral College. We don't need it. It's antiquated.
It's too outdated.
So you went to school, and you're going to school, and you're interested in forensic science. Let's get back to baseball for a minute, and tell me... tell me one good experience you've had at the ballpark at Petco, or one or two or whatever, that are like memorable for you.
Well, I mean, I've been a short time fan since 17, basically. So I don't know the past of the team. I know the past, but I didn't live it. So I didn't have to suffer all those years, I guess. Right. Now that we got Machado facing everybody.
Right.
But I think the best memory I've had was summer of 17 when I went to go catch a full on game. And just seeing the atmosphere of the fans getting up, screaming when the Padres score runs, I think that got me into it. I started feeling some type of sensation, like, you know, this is electrifying in a sense. So I started, you know, I started going back 2018. I went to probably 40 games. Apeco.
Mm-hmm.
Full on. And then 2019 was just the major year in baseball because I was down there like every damn week for the parties around town. Military Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, whenever I had the chance. I would even call off work at times just to go watch the Padres.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you
not,
know.
Not that I advocate for that, but still.
It, you know, you gotta get
it's addicting, really, you know, in a way, because of the stadium that we have, the atmosphere, like you said, it's just electrifying. And it was especially that way during the All-Star game. I was so happy that we had the All-Star game at our stadium because...
I wasn't into baseball around that time, and I just felt so terrible. I'm like, it was here in San Diego, and I missed it completely.
Well, it showcased our stadium. It showcased our town. And now we're being showcased again. We're being noticed in the print media, TV, radio. Again, thanks in large part to Tatis Jr. and stuff. So San Diego, you know. I said the other day, San Diego's always been like the bastard child of the Dodgers. And now we're not so much that. You know, the media's starting to pay attention. I think it's good that we're getting that attention. What do you think of our lineup? Because I started the show off talking about what the Dodgers said. Well, our lineup isn't as good as the Dodgers. What do you think of... the lineup of players that we have now for the Padres?
You know what? I think we have a really good group of guys playing for the Padres currently. The bullpen, you know, it was ranked number 2 in MLB, but it had a very tough time, like struggles in the first couple weeks. And we kind of seen a little bit of them getting a little bit better. But last night, we saw them fall back again. So I just need these guys, you know, they just got to get... the confidence up, you know, they got to realize that they are the number 2 best bullpen in the MLB. They got to realize the talent they have. Yeah, the infield for the Padres is perfect. It's just surrounded by talent. You know, you got a Gold Glove with Eric Cosman. You got Tatis, Machado, and whoever you put at second, they always manage to do a great job. In this case, Cronenworth. What a surprise he was, to be honest.
You know, oh, Cronenworth, fantastic player, fantastic. It's like we must hold on to him. And I'd like to see Cronenworth at second base all the time.
Oh, he's amazing. You know, he gets us out of our chairs. Just seeing him and Tatis, you're just excited to watch the game because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I just wish we could see it in person at the stadium.
Don't we all? I had tickets ready bought for this season, and it was just disappointing. But
me too.
And then it started coming out, and everything started getting canceled.
Yeah, that was sad.
It was.
But yeah, we got a really solid infield. The bullpen is good. The only trouble with the bullpen last night was Stammen. He makes me nervous. He made me nervous last year. Because he can either come in and be really good, or he can suck ass like he did last night. Yeah, giving up 4 runs and putting the game out of reach. You know, and we had an opportunity in the 9th to score some runs if we would have batted in the bases loaded with no outs. And that didn't happen. Yeah, and that's one of the things I think the team needs to work on more than trying to hit home runs. They need to figure out how to move runners in scoring position. You got to figure out how to hit, you know, with people on base. Otherwise, you can't win games like that. You can win with home runs, you know, with a unusual grand slam like the second game with Manny Machado, but you really have to be able to manufacture runs too. That's what the good teams do.
Yeah, we let the men, 2 men on base. I think it was the top of the first, I believe.
Yeah.
And then I think it was a 0-0 out count, and you saw what happened. Couldn't manage to bring the guys in during that inning, and just leaving those guys out, you know, we got to get better on that. We got to make sure they come in and they score, because we can't just have these missed opportunities all the time.
Yeah. Well, it can only get better from here. Now, you and another friend that I'm going to have on in a little while when his schedule clears up. His name is Jonah, and you guys are going to start your own podcast.
Yeah, we actually started recording 2 or 3 weeks ago. We have 2 episodes out right now on Spotify. It's called the Midnight Call Podcast, and it's not a sports podcast. Everybody for some reason thinks it is. It's just a podcast that explains the life of 4 friends here in San Diego and explaining our travels, our experiences, anything that is pretty interesting about us in our lives, because we're all college students. We're workers. We just experience different points of view in life, and we just share that with our listeners.
Sounds very interesting. And Jonah said you're going to touch on like current events and things that are happening
the current event right now, I mean, it's only the pandemic, but we're not going to spend too much time talking about that. Just give our feelings about how we feel, what's been canceled, what we miss, what we're expecting to look forward to. Or talk about our road trips. We've done a road trip, not with Jonah. I haven't met Jonah at this point, but we did a road trip. It was like 21 hours from here to San Diego all the way to Seattle. We went to go catch the opening day for the Mariners. Just stuff like that, you know? Just let people know a little bit more about us.
That's cool. And do you have it linked up on your Twitter?
No, I don't think I'm on my Twitter, but I do have it on my Instagram. Instagram page is the Midnight Call Podcast, if you guys want to check it out.
Okay. So that's interesting. So I'd be interested to hear, you know, what people your age think about what's happening now in this country as well.
I want to make sure people understand just like what other people go through. You know, sometimes when you go down a walk or down a drive, don't you ever just stop and think, I wonder where those people are going or what they're going to do next?
Yeah, sort of a step into my shoes kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Which a lot of people don't do. We're in a very judgmental society. And again, you know, it comes from being dumbed down and not educated. And we have, you know, a society that, I don't know. It's just my generation has let your generation down, in my opinion, as far as current events go, as far as, you know, what we have in the White House. You know, I'm not a supporter of that orange bastard with his spray tan. Yeah, I think he's insane. I think he's a psychopath and he's narcissistic, and we need to get rid of him in November. And you know,
the people know that, you know, this 4 years were pretty miserable, but they know that it's time for the change.
Well, he's destroyed with the Republicans everything that was good that the Obama administration did. Just undid it. You know, from environmental things to now saying if he gets elected, he wants to get rid of Social Security. You know, nobody has a right to touch Social Security. Social Security now that I get for my disability is money that my parents put in to Social Security from their paychecks. My paychecks, when I could work, went to the fund for you when you get to be my age and if you need Social Security. So this rat bastard saying he's going to take away Social Security, I'm like, fuck you. You know, I'm going to do what I have to do to vote. And this is not the time for a third-party candidate. We are in trouble in this country. We have let fascism into the government. That's national socialism you're seeing. You hear these assholes, too, say, well, Bernie Sanders, he's a socialist. Can't vote for him. He's a socialist. But they don't realize there's a lot of different kinds of socialism, and national socialism is short for Nazi. And that's what we have. He thinks he's a dictator. And I've even gone as far to say that if he loses the election, I think the military is going to have to remove him from the White House because he's going to say he doesn't accept the results of the election. But I'm getting on a political tangent, but that's because, you know, I'm very interested in hearing what people your age have to say. And that's why I think the podcast you're going to do is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, the young people do not want him. It's just an obvious choice, you know. We do not accept them. and they want change. They're waiting for change, and we pretty much miss Obama, you know.
Yeah, he was a good president, you know. Some of the things I disagreed with him with, you know, that where he was in the center, and most of it had to do.
Remember, he picked back the stock market after 2008 crash. You know, mm-hmm. he did pretty well.
And we need to get back there again, you know. And you know, now with the COVID and the unemployment and stuff, you know, these idiots are saying, well, we're going to cut the money that we're going to give people this time, you know, if they ever vote on the goddamn bill and get their act together in Congress. But they say they're going to cut the money back because that'll encourage people to go back to work. I'm like, where the fuck are they supposed to go back to work to? There are so many businesses now that are closed. I can't get a haircut. I look like Chris Paddock, you know, with the hair. This is the longest my hair has ever been. And I was going to get a haircut, but then the governor closed the barber shops again. So where are people supposed to go back to work, you know, if their places are closed?
Very stressful time. It's unknown, you know, very unknown at this time. And then we just got everybody off guard.
All right, let's get off of politics because I'll piss off people. I probably pissed off some conservatives that listen to this now, but I don't give a shit. It's my podcast. I can say what I want on it. Back to baseball. What do you think the chances are that we'll advance in the playoffs this year? We'll certainly be in the playoffs with this expanded playoff thing baseball created, not to make the game better, in my opinion, but to bring in more revenue, TV revenue and stuff like that. Yeah. What do you think of the possibility of this team going, you know, farther in the playoffs instead of just, you know, laying down and dying in the first round?
Yeah, I see you. No, they have the potential. They have the power and they have the start talent to advance and probably make it to the World Series. They really put their head into it. We got to get every player to be at the top of their game, you know, bullpen, each infielder, each outfielder, even the coaches need to be at the top of their game if we want all that.
Yeah.
Just day by day, you know, game by day. First off, we want to secure that playoff spot no matter what position. I would want it to be at least top of the division because they have a chance to actually win it, you know. They just got to keep on playing rough, mm-hmm. keep on playing smart. And after that, just take it game by game, you know.
I'm wondering what's wrong with Tommy Pham. There's something not right with him.
Yeah, I've been noticing in the past couple games, you know. I think, what was it, him and Manny went 2-for-20 or 2-22 or something like that during the Dodger season here at Petco.
Yeah. Well, Manny generally has a history of starting off real slow in the beginning of the season.
He's heating up now. You could obviously tell that, but Tommy Pham, I just haven't seen it from him. I mean, yeah, he gets walks and stuff, but I don't know, you know. Like, to be honest, seeing Gerritsen Profar out there in left field just doesn't good enough for me.
No, because Profar in left field, he's not a left fielder. We saw the other day where he missed a ball, you know.
Completely over him. He got lucky that we got a catcher like Hedges who made that great catch and managed to hold on to the ball, and then a great throw by Tatis, you know.
Uh-huh. I don't know, but it's hard, you know, because as a fan, it's hard to criticize these guys because you don't know what it's like. I'd be terrified out of my mind if somebody was throwing a 100-mile baseball at me, you know, and stuff. You know, so it's not easy to do, and I sometimes forget that as well myself, that it's not really an easy job to do. It's not easy to hit a 100-mile-per-hour ball from professional pitcher.
You always gotta remember that, but what I also remember is that, you know, they're professionals. They're supposed to be making those plays. Us people like us that are not baseball players, I mean, we'll mess up. We'll fuck up. We're not good enough like them, right? But since they're professionals, they do a little bit better than that, you know?
Yeah, they're supposed to be. But everybody has slumps. It just happens, you know. It's part of baseball. Even the best player, the best Yankee player, had slumps.
You know? You never want to bring them down. I always support, even if the bullpen fucks up, I always support for the guys. I don't hate none of the players. I don't despise none of them. You always got to support the guys because if they're doing good, the team does good. You know?
Yeah, and there was a good cohesion the first two games of the series with the Dodgers. It had that playoff atmosphere. Last night's game didn't feel like that. It just felt like, I said in the video, you know, were they tired? You know, did they all have a big meal before they played and they wanted to lay down and take a nap?
Yeah,
you know, and they were swinging at crap, you know.
They look like the team we saw the past 2 days. You know, the Dodgers were going to manage to wake up. They didn't want to get swept in the series. They didn't want to lose the other game. I mean, the game was pretty interesting so far. I mean, they were both at zero runs. Mud and Don, and said it perfectly. You know, it's like the first one to make an error, the first one to make a slip up, that's gonna be a cause of a run. And it was true.
What do you think about our new manager, Tingler?
What was that?
Tingler. What do you think about of our new manager, Tingler? You know, doesn't that sound like a sex toy to you? Get ready, ladies, for the new toy that you can play with. It's the Tingler. Tingler. Tingler.
Hopefully the Padres are using the Tingler against the other teams. That's why they're getting swept or losing against us, right?
Right.
I think he's a good manager. He's doing pretty well. You know, there's nothing much we can criticize about him. He's a 60-game season, never played before. So you got to give him a little bit of slack. But I think his decisions have been pretty good. I still remember that perfect one where he took out Will Myers and got a pinch hit and put in Greg Garcia. And, you know, Greg Garcia ended up hitting the ball and brought in the scorer, too. So that was really smart of him.
Yeah, I like that move.
He's been pretty well as well. You know, he hasn't been like anything, letting the pitchers in there, getting lit up. You know, once he sees a sign of danger, he's taking the guys out already.
Yeah. I like him. I like how he's managing. At first, I was like, who is this guy? But now we're finding out a little bit more about him each game as well, and yep. I like him. He's certainly an improvement over the dumbass Andy Green. I did not like Andy Green, and you probably know that by watching the videos and stuff last season.
I think Tinker's using that as fuel as well. You know, he knows that when he came to San Diego, no one knew about him, or he wasn't known much. So I think that's giving him fuel to do better, to make sure he does the best he can each and every game, because he wants to show the city, he wants to show the MLB that, you know, my name is Jace Tingler and I'm here to stay. And this is going to be my team, and, you know, these are going to be my tactics.
A lot of Padres fans think that A.J. Preller has a lot of say when it comes to management decisions and the lineup and stuff. Do you think he inserts himself into that, or do you think it's all Tingler's ideas, you know, as far as the lineup and
you know,
other
I
decisions?
Preller is paying well good attention to the team. He might give some outside the box tips to Tingler, but I doubt he gets very much into it. I'm pretty sure he lets Tingler do what he knows, because he's surrounded by a well group of good coaches around him, like Bobby Dickerson, Wayne Kirby, just for a few of them. So I'm pretty sure Preller lets them handle the business and make sure that, you know, they're under control. I don't need to step in or say anything.
It was a surprise that we picked up from Atlanta Yonder Alonso. I'm wondering, and I said on the Ben and Woods show yesterday, I'm wondering if they're hunting for a regular DH or if he's just going to be down at the alternate training site to work with the younger players. What do you think the reason is we got Yonder Alonso again?
I think it's, you know, for a possible DH spot. You know, like I said earlier, DH has been very much up in the air. No one has been able to, like, grasp it to make sure that we actually have a DH this season. It's been a rotation. So I think getting Alonso is going to be giving him a chance to try to get that position, show his worth, and hopefully he can, like, contribute to the team, make sure that that DH spot is always feared and we're not just in limbo just guessing what's going to happen.
And what do you think about the DH in the National League? Should we keep it next year?
I really much prefer the pitchers, even though, you know, it's kind of painful watching them because sometimes, yes, you know, it's like a striker out. But I'm pretty much in between about a DH, to be honest. I would rather much see someone who has power hit than a pitcher. But then seeing other pitchers like just come up with different strategies, get hits, is pretty exciting as well.
Yeah. Okay, is there anything else you want people to know about you? Nothing dirty or really explicit, because we have children that might listen to this as well. You know, like
this much. Like, if you see me around the ballpark, don't be afraid. I think Jonah was pretty much kind of afraid of me. He thought I was like a big mean guy or something like that. No, I'm pretty welcoming. I'm pretty friendly. I try to help people around. I always start conversations with random people around the ballpark. So just. You see me around, just say what's up, give me a hang or anything. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, that's good. You know, we need more people like that in this world.
Yeah,
we really do. All right, here comes the music. We're out of time for this podcast. I thank you for coming on, and I want to remind everybody that there's a couple of other ones that you'll find that you can listen to if you haven't listened to it yet, especially the one with Steve Woods. It was really, really good. Woods from Ben and Woods. All right. Friarville saying, see you next time. Take care of yourself and keep it lit, everybody. I'll talk to you later.